I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we are then, it's the Manchester City Hour, and it's an hour of fun because there's lots to talk about, there's lots of positives. I'm Ian Cheeseman, by Paul Lake, the City legend, and Danny Fanzone Jackson from City Square and loads of other places as well. So, welcome along, chaps. Are you smiling today?
Cheesy, I'm always smiling, but we've had a bit of good news on the way in. I mean, you two seem a little bit uncertain about it, but they've turned into what they morphed into us from 30 years ago. These
who
are now.
Are we possibly
we're just poking a little bit of fun at the guys from Stretford, the guys who were struggling for a manager because they've got rid of Jose Mourinho. £24 million payoff. Bye bye, Jose. Something I said on this show, Cheesy, 14 months ago. They need to sack Mourinho and they need to spend £500 million. Well, one part of that is coming true, and I get the feeling whoever they bring in, and there's not many decent managers out there for me. There's no manager. If you Lakey, if we were going to get rid of Pep Guardiola now, is there a manager you could put your finger on that would be a good replacement? I don't think there is. I don't think there's anybody that would excite me. And even when you've had to put up with Jose Mourinho for 3 years, I still don't think there's anybody out there. So it's great fun. And you two seem a little bit less excited than I do, but
I wanted him
I love
to stay.
I wanted him to have another 3 years. I wanted him to sort of... No, the thing is, though, is like you say, it's fascinating when you think about it, how, you know, for all this measure of time, a guy that has been in the past so successful has undermined a squad of players where the egos are fantastic because that's the game today. And instead of him managing the egos of his team, of his players, the players have had to manage the manager's ego for so long. And it's just absolutely preposterous. But the bottom line is that they now have got to fudge their way through a club the size of Man United's to fudge their way through the remainder of the season.
See, now you're getting into it, Lakey.
It's
I can see it.
Unprecedented, mate. It's just ridiculous. And I mean, obviously, we've got friends who are Reds. And on the one hand, the majority of my mates.
You've got friends who are Reds.
Yeah, I don't talk about it often, but yeah, I have. No, but they were always saying that they wanted him to go. Well, all of my mates said they wanted him to go. They weren't happy with him at all. But like Danny was saying there, is who comes in now and actually in the future, who is out there unless you're going to bring Sir Alex back?
Yeah, and well, I saw a tweet. As soon as this story broke, somebody tweeted me and said, City have gotten fine for because I'd made some comment about sad to see him go and everything like that, very sarcastically. And this person who tweeted me back said, yeah, it's all right for you to say that. Your club's got no history. But the thing is, and I didn't reply this, but United have got no present, have they? And I know which I'd rather
future,
have.
Future, which is the key thing. This is a major event, you know, for a club the size of Man United to admit they have just made a complete mistake in signing Jose Mourinho. I mean, the special one he may have been 10, 15 years ago, but this is a guy managerially that has not evolved at all. His style of football is prehistoric. It's run its course. You know, and you look at the likes of Pochettino, you look at the likes of Guardiola, you look at the likes of Klopp that have taken it to a new level now in terms of style of play. You know, his defensive mindedness to get results isn't the way to go these days, without a shadow of a doubt.
But you mean even missed out Emery there, because even his style of play would have suited Man United. I mean, in the history of Man United, we've always known they've been an attacking side and, you know, for United fans in particular, entertaining and very successful. But, you know, there's a 38 goal difference between Manchester City and Manchester United. And
we're not to mention 18 points as well.
Yeah, but it's just, you just can't fathom it. And who'd have thought that many years ago we'd be having this conversation now? It's a special. So he is giving us his special moment, hasn't he? It might not be the special anymore, but he's giving us his special moment.
Surely the perfect fit, though, is either temporary or hopefully long term manager now would be somebody pragmatic like Sam Allardyce. You know, get him in there and...
Stop it, Jeezy. Come on, stop it, Jeezy.
He'd be a good fit, wouldn't he? Perfect. Seriously.
Frank Perfect. Clark could be available. I don't know.
Yeah, he'll stave off relegation as Big Sam, as he always does. So that's about their level at the moment. So, yeah, bring in Sam. Let's get a petition going on excess. Bring in Sam. What do you reckon?
Hashtag bring in Sam. Right, let's move on now and let's talk about City, our club. The club that is giving us so much joy and so much pleasure at the moment. I think that was a tough game against Everton at the weekend. And with all the injury situation, obviously KDB came on again towards the end. Aguero was sat on the bench. Mendy's not fit. We know the long list of injuries. David Silva, how can you cope without a player like David Silva? But they still beat Everton 3-1, which I thought was highly impressive.
I mean, if you look at the derby that Liverpool had against Everton and how they set themselves up, obviously Liverpool should have won the game. But, you know, they took it right to the wire, you know, so you knew what you're going to come up against. They had their strongest side out. And at the same time, if we're being honest about the performance against Hoffenheim, you'd have to say that there were three or four players that were below par. I felt that you had, looking at John Stones, looking at Kyle Walker, looking at Ilkay Gundogan, they almost looked a little bit battle-weary for me. But yet, come the weekend, those players, I mean, obviously John wasn't in the starting 11, but you'd be looking at Ilkay Gundogan in particular, who I think has got a bit of a rough time with certain City fans. I don't know what you think, Danny, but I think he has. I thought he was excellent. But the one player who we always talk about as City fans, but the footballing world doesn't talk about him enough, for me, is Fernandinho. I thought he was absolutely incredible at the weekend. And when you have players like him, last season I thought we always had one player who would take the team to 10 out of 10. Add that extra little bit every single game. The goals were shared across the whole of the team. And there were always a 7 and an 8, but one player took it to 10. And Sané and Sterling have been that player, obviously David Silva has this season. We've got Kevin De Bruyne now coming back, who it was great to see him on the pitch. But with other players like, you know, Mahrez in particular now. But I just feel like if we can just build the momentum now up to the Liverpool game, that's going to be the game where I think that could actually decide the
really?
Season. I think it could be that big, yeah.
Well, I thought the performance against Everton was, bearing in mind what you just said there, the players that were missing in that game. I mean, what other squad could afford to lose the likes of, or not start with Sterling, De Bruyne, Silva, Mendy? You know, these are core players for City. These are players that if everybody's fit, they start. So that's, you know, that's more than a third of the team missing. This is a team against Everton that, you know, we've not had the greatest results against. You know, I think we've only won two of the last seven at home against them prior to weekend. I thought we were in total control. I mean, I maybe saw that game differently to other people because people felt that Everton were in it at points. I never for a minute did. Even at 2-1, I didn't. I felt that we'd just click up that gear again. Within 5 minutes or so, we'd got the third. I thought the way that Everton set up against us really just showed the massive negativity with that five at the back. And it was a rigid five, wasn't it? You know, they literally spread the...
Yeah, but Danny, think about it. But they did try to play us higher up the pitch. At times, they did go 3-3 at the back with us. They did sort of try and interchange it. They tried to go to a high press, especially from, like, dead ball situations. They tried to really stretch the pitch, which not many teams have got the courage to come and do. And, you know, there was one moment in the first half where the ball's gone over the top to just over Kyle Walker's head. And Bernard didn't get hold of it. That was early on in the game. So they did try something different, which again, asked different questions of City. But you're absolutely right in terms of then getting behind the ball. But we know that just plays into our hands anyway, because sooner or later, we'll create a chance. But for me, the one thing that was really interesting was the fact that when we did stretch, when they tried to play out from the back, it just shows you the level that we are at. Because teams, they've got some good players, you know, recognised international players, but they try to play out from the back against City. And you just show that that's the quality you need to have time and time again. And Mina, obviously, for the pass for Jesus' goal, just shows you that that's the quality that City have. And Newcastle scored a wonder goal against Huddersfield Town. Everyone was raving about it. Well, that happens three or four times every home game at the Etihad. We're scoring goals like that. So I think you're right, Dan, in terms of defensively, they did get behind the ball. But I actually thought they were brave because they did try at times to stretch the pitch and go toe-to-toe with City. But we know...
Did you ever feel under any pressure as a City fan in that game, though? Because I didn't. No. I really didn't. I didn't think the... I mean, other than the, maybe that Richarlison chance in the first half, you know, a difficult-looking volley, you know, that he put over, I just didn't feel like we were ever going to lose that game. And again, bearing in mind who we had missing, that is just testament to the strength of City squad. You know, Bernardo Silva, maybe he's a couple of players, isn't he, Cheesy? I've heard you mention it on the, I think, yesterday's show, that are looking a little bit weary, I think, at the minute. You know, Bernardo Silva is one of them. He's had a lot of game time. He's been one of the best players this season. I have to be honest, and I've thrown it out there for the last 18 months, so I'm not the biggest fan of Kyle Walker, and I just don't think he defensively is good enough for me. Great going forward. I know he got in team of the season. I'm probably going to get shot down a bit. However, I just don't think Kyle Walker is all that, and I think we're starting to see cracks in Kyle Walker's game. I think he needs a rest. I think he's definitely one of them players who's played a lot of football and needs a rest. I'd like to see Danilo maybe come in for a few more games once he's fit. But I thought overall, I've got to disagree with Lakey. I thought the Everton-Liverpool game, I thought Everton could have been 3-4 up in that game at one point. You know, they really pressed Liverpool in that first half. And I thought, you know, of Jordan Pickford... Oh, I mean, I ranted about Jordan Pickford after the game on City Square. I just think he's the most overrated keeper in the Premier League. I think if Everton had any sense after the World Cup, they'd have sold him while his stock was so high. I think he's bang average. I thought he was at fault for Jesus' first goal. And I thought he obviously, you know, the Merseyside derby, he just gifted Liverpool the 3 points.
Well, I disagree with that. I think he's a very good keeper. I think he's a young keeper. He's got a lot to learn. I think his feet can get better and they will get better. He's got a good left peg. I think he's dynamic. I think he's positive. And I think he'll get better and better. So I disagree with you there, mate. But yeah, I mean, in terms of... looking at us, Dan, looking at how we set up, you're right, like Kyle Walker, it's really interesting. I often wonder if, because of how Mahrez plays, whether that has a negative effect on how he plays, because he's getting forward. And if you remember the game when City played away at Chelsea, obviously we got beat. But Kyle Walker in the game when Kev scored the goal and won 1-0, that game he was getting forward time and time again, he was superb. But I think he gets frustrated. And I think he's not got great emotional control. And if you remember the game against Hoffenheim, he came on. He tries to outstrength every player he goes up against, that shoulder charge. And you're not. There's always someone stronger than you. There always is. Or that moment in time where you're not quite set, and someone gets even below your centre of gravity or whatever. And he thinks that he's got the pace, he's got the strength, that he can outdo everyone. Okay, he's confident. But even against Everton, mate, we saw Luckman, he ran him twice. And Kyle Walker is all about pace, you know, and he was caught on a few occasions. And quite a few players have done him. And like you say, the one thing for me about Kyle Walker, I think he's a very, very good player. But like Zaba's got a sense of danger. And I think as a defender, you have to have that. But I don't think Kyle Walker has that. I don't even the goal that he conceded for the penalty in the World Cup shows you. He doesn't get on the half turn. He doesn't check. But the difference is because we saw the goal that Everton scored. As fantastic as Laporte has been this season, he didn't check his shoulder. He didn't know where his man was. And he really was at fault for that goal. But he's a young player still learning. Kyle's 27, 28. You know, and he's still got that element to his game where, you know, can he get better? Still, of course he can. With Pep, he will get better. But I think you are right, Danny. I think in terms of a defender, he still has a fair bit to be desired.
Is the only thing I'd chuck into this, because it's really interesting to listen to the two of you with the different sides of that argument, is the balance that City have in the team at the moment. Obviously, if Mendy was playing, you'd have two flying wing-backs or whatever you want to call them. And without Mendy, you don't have that on the other side because you've got Fabian Delph, who tends to cut in and sit as an extra midfielder. Mm. You've got Zinchenko, who might push forward and sit forward, but he doesn't bomb up and down that wing, does he? Mm. And now, with Mahrez starting quite a few games on the right-hand side, and this is not me having a go at Mahrez, although I'm not sure that he fits into a Pep Guardiola team and the sort of quick passing, but we saw when Raheem Sterling first came in, and I'm a huge fan these days of Raheem Sterling, that when he first came in, he would run down the flank and you go on, take him on. And then he'd pass a fairly safe sideways pass. And at the moment, what I'm seeing from Mahrez is that the ball sticks with him, which is obviously what Pep wants to happen. Keep possession. That might be the reason sometimes he gets a nod over Sane, as dangerous as he is. But then he'll check inside and play a square ball. And that, to me, then slows things down and loses the momentum. And the only reason I mention all this is that because of the different dynamics of Sterling, sometimes on the left, sometimes on the right, played a false nine at Chelsea. Do the fullbacks, and Mahrez sometimes is on the right, Sane plays most games. Do the fullbacks have to having to do too, you might say they should do anyway, but too much thinking and too much adapting to different ways of playing, almost game by game, because of the different dynamics in front of them?
Well, for me, I'll just jump in, Dan, and you can have yours, mate. I just feel
I could listen to you all day long, Lakey, don't worry.
We both could.
But Dan, we know how prepared the players are with Pep. And we talk about each player on the pitch being a quarterback, having that many players in his locker. So whatever team you play against, whatever press they adopt, whatever players play on the right side or the left side, your fullbacks will have that condition. So they will know how to play, you know, and join in with those players. Now, all that Kyle can do, for instance, with Mahrez comes in a lot, and sometimes he will slot him in, but maybe not often enough. The same with regard to Raheem Sterling, comes in from the right side. He'll go outside. He won't come inside that often. So that means that Kyle, all he can do really is support. I think Mendy is a tremendous player, and he has got so much to learn, but he sometimes has too much thinking time. I think when that happens, he gets caught sometimes in terms of what pass he really wants to make. But I think that I actually disagree. I think Mahrez has got a wonderful football brain, and I think he is the kind of player that plays in a Pep Guardiola side. But I actually feel that Mahrez could be, because David Silva, as we all worship David Silva, but someone's got to fit into that number 10 slot. You look at Phil, and Phil can be an 8 or he can be a 10. But we might even look at Mahrez to slot into there as well. So you've got interesting options. But I just feel that you've got that much. It's funny, when you compare City to Liverpool, I think the Liverpool have got better defenders who break forward. So but I think we've got defenders who think forward first and then defend. And I think sometimes when you play against a three with Salah and Mane and whoever, Firmino or whoever, then you've got to be switched on. Kyle Walker in particular has got to be switched on. You know, and again, our left side is a real issue, because I thought against Chelsea, as good as Fabian Delph has been, I think he was left wanting on quite a few occasions. And that means that we have to keep the ball so much better, even though we do, against teams like Chelsea. And most importantly, take our chances. But it'd be great to get your thoughts on Mendy and whether you feel that, you know, Kyle Walker and Mendy, are they actually our best two players? Or would you actually look in those situations to play Laporte wide and bring Otamendi in alongside John Stones?
No, I do. I'm a big fan of Benjamin Mendy. He's a little bit like Kyle Walker, isn't he? Where I don't think he's, like you said there, his first thought is to defend. His first thought is to get forward. But we saw that in, what was it, 3 or 4 games. He created 5 assists. He was top of the assist charts and he played like 3 games. So you see what value he adds kind of in a forward sense. But a little bit like, you know what you're getting with Fabian Delph. He's a very safe option. He'll put a shift in. He won't do anything too adventurous, but 1v1s, and he'll you know, 9 times out of 10 he'll win it. And just going to Mahrez, I think we're not seeing the best of Mahrez yet for me. I believe Pep's brought him in because maybe other than Eden Hazard, I think he is the best 1v1 player in the Premier League. And I think there'll be circumstances this season. I think as the season wears on, and bear in mind, he's only been played for 4 months for City. You know, it takes a bit of time. You know, you look at Leroy Sané, didn't hit the ground running. There's plenty of players we could name that haven't kind of hit the ground running. Still got a fair number of goals and fair number of assists for his appearances. But I just think he is a different type of option to what Leroy Sané and Raheem Sterling is. And I think that 1v1, I think other than Hazard, I think he's the best in the Premier League. And I think that'll come to fruition in certain games the more that the season goes on.
We've still got Champions League to talk about. We've still got the game against Leicester to talk about. And I want to talk about KDB. And right after this, an ex-City player is joining us, and you two can try and work out who it is. Right after this. Right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Promise we'd have the secret footballer, if that's what we're going to call him, next. But you know what? We're going to hold that. We're going to hold that. Hold the surprise for you. I want to talk about other things as well now. First of all, I'm going to ask a question, and you can think about this one. But then we'll talk about the Champions League. Now, tonight, obviously, Leicester, if you listen to the podcast after the game, you know the answer to this already. But tonight, KDB, in theory, starts. Pep said he would start. After the game against Fulham, City fans, when he got the injury, I think it was in stoppage time, wasn't it, of that game, when the player fell on his leg and it was the other leg from the knee that he originally did. And he went off and he spent this time out again. Everybody said, a lot of people on social media said, why was he playing him? Why play him in a League Cup tie? Why even keep him on for that long if you were going to play him on a Cup tie? So the question tonight is, should KDB be playing in a League Cup quarter-final at Leicester when you know you've got Palace, Leicester, Southampton, Liverpool all on the horizon over a busy period? Should he be just playing part of it? My personal view is he's got to have minutes in him. And I think that the two injuries were completely separate. They weren't related to each other. It was just one of those unfortunate things. And didn't Danny get injured in training for the first one? So yeah. What would you do? Not train?
Exactly. You've got to get minutes on the pitch. I mean, we want Kev fit and sharp. Like Lakey said before, the build up to the Liverpool game, you know, you want the fully fit firing squad ready for Liverpool, and to do that he's going to have to play minutes. The thing you've got with Kevin De Bruyne, he's such a all action player. He got injured in the last minute of that game in the left back position making a block tackle, and then Fosu bloody Mensah lands on his leg, you know, but it kind of, he's almost a victim of his own dedication to the game. Maybe at that point you're thinking, Kev, just stay up. We're cruising.
But that's
we're
not
winning.
Pep's fault,
but
is
no, it?
It
isn't. That's KDB's hunger for everything on that pitch, and in that instance, it caused the problem. He got the injury. Yes, he should start tonight. I think no, he shouldn't play 90 minutes, and I don't think he will. I think you'll find 70 minutes he'll get. And it's like Lakey knows far better than I ever will. But I mean, surely when you're returning from fitness, you've got to ramp the minutes on the pitch up without overdoing it. You know,
actually, Lakey, you're a former physiotherapist. You're probably still qualified, aren't you? Mm-hmm. So not only can you tell us from a player's point of view, but also from a physio's point of view, it as a player coming back like that, he did play 90 minutes, didn't he, against Fulham? And I bet before the game, Danny, you'd have said the same. I would have said the same. He'd probably play 65, 75.
But he'd had a
tonight.
Couple of games in the lead up to that, hadn't he? He'd had minutes on a couple of
sub,
this
yeah.
is just once that
true,
you know, he's come on
true.
For 20 minutes. So
yeah,
I can't
yeah.
see. I can see 70 minutes tonight. How does that work normally?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if you've seen over the course of the last sort of 4 or 5 years, the amount of players that have come from injuries and gone straight into the team, maybe not played 90 minutes, but I've gone straight into the team because...
Ferner does it, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ferner does it all the time.
Well, because back in the day, we had the reserve, so you always had that build-up to get your confidence, get your timing back. But because of how Pep trains and because of the intensity and because of the sports scientific measures that each player has, they know the levels of fitness that they're at. And because these players are world-class or as close to it, you know, certainly international players got loads of experience. They know themselves. So KDB, you know, I think he will play tonight. The interesting thing is that because of how the intensity of how Pep trains, players are still going to get injured before the season ends. Hopefully not many and not serious, but it's going to happen because that's how Pep trains. He trains how he wants you to play. At the same time, we all know that we've gone to games and thought, this is going to be the 11. And Pep just chucks in a curveball and you're thinking, where's that come from?
Yeah.
So if he gives Kev the captaincy tonight, which he might do, in which case he'd probably end up playing 90 minutes and he may even go to extra time, in which case, if that was the case, then he'd probably play again. So we can't second guess it. The one thing that you do know is that when a player pulls on a City shirt now, they are at the level of fitness required. Because all the tests have been done. And like you both said, there were freak accidents, not related, you know, and it was a frustration. And you know, hindsight's a great thing. But Kevin De Bruyne is just the kind of player that we love at City because he's all action, because, you know, he's never say die, and because he has that work ethic. And we know that once that can be contagious for players like Mahrez, for players like Bernardo Silva, David Silva in particular, which changed his game from two seasons ago, his work rate is incredible. So if you were to shave that and into Kev De Bruyne and get him to sort of say, well, I'll take it easy there, as much as we all want it, Kev De Bruyne wouldn't be the same player. Mm. And we would not have him any other way, would we?
Here's an example. Here's two examples on Twitter, one for and against him playing tonight. Nature Boy just says, why risk him? You know, but then, as I said before, you risk him when you just walk down the road when you're training.
Is it a risk because they've done the kind of science behind him being on the pitch? So it's probably not what a layman like me doesn't have a clue what goes on behind the scenes. I just see players on a pitch. You know, maybe you're looking at it and say it is a risk. Pep ain't going to take a risk with Kevin De Bruyne or his physio.
And if you, me and you, Danny, we don't get access to watch them train or anything like. Well, neither do you, Lakey. I suppose you might do occasionally.
No, I don't.
But from everything I hear, they train at the same intensity as they play a game. Mm-hmm. So this concept that a player turns up, I don't know if it was any different when you played, Lakey, or it's been different in any eras.
It was
just
different.
Go, was it?
Yeah.
And they just go, I didn't mean you went through the motions, might train at a different intensity to the game. Mm-hmm. But from everything that's been said about Pep, from players, from people around the club, Pep's team trains at an absolute intensity, which you can probably then deduct from watching the games because they're so fit. They do last the 90 minutes. And whilst I know you said before, Danny, that Bernardo Silva might look a little tired and sometimes, and I'm not disagreeing with you just to do it on purpose, but sometimes you see in a player how you feel. You know what I mean? You transmit yourself when you think, oh, you know, he could have done better, that he must be tired. Mm. I'm not sure it's tiredness.
Well, I think it's mental fatigue. I think
that can be part of it. That,
and
it
looks like someone's coming. I think even Kyle Walker, certainly Gundogan, you know, against Hoffenheim, looked a little bit, I use that expression, battle weary. It's a bit dramatic, that I understand that. But that's what I meant by that. Because, like you say, Bernardo Silva has been at the level. He's been an 8 and a 9 out of 10 for the majority of the season. And to maintain those levels as a young player is difficult. You know, and class never leaves you, but form can dip.
It is that imagination that you lose, isn't it?
It can be. And I did think that was the case. But at the same time, we've also taken into consideration Kevin De Bruyne himself. He'll want to play tonight, regardless of what anybody else thinks.
True.
He'll be saying, no, I'm playing tonight.
He'll play.
He'll play. Definitely, yeah.
Now, Champions League draw. Now, I had a personal reason why I wanted the draw that happened, and I'm sure most City fans would have agreed with me anyway, because when you looked at the four potential opponents that City had, even though Ajax, a Dutch club, you would think generally, I know they've got a big name and a history in the Champions League years and years ago, but you would probably look at a team from the Dutch league and said that they were the weakest potential opponents. Obviously, Atletico Madrid, Spanish league, great, great current form, etc. Mm-hmm. Roma, Italian sides, always difficult to break down. Schalke and Ajax. But Schalke, first of all, from my point of view, is my second team. It's where my mum was born. So I was so excited. I was whooping around the front room when that draw. That was exactly what I wanted, so I can go and see the two legs. Don't get me wrong, 100% want City to win. But to actually go and see the family, be in familiar surroundings for me, and if the worst was to possibly happen, which, by the way, it won't, and City were to lose to Schalke, I'd rather lose, if you're going to lose, to them than anybody else in the world. But also, Schalke have made a poor start to the season. They sold a couple of good players in the summer. Havedes went, who was obviously a German international defender, and they are slowly climbing back up the Bundesliga, probably won't even qualify for Europe next season. So I would say now is a good time. I know it's February. Now is a good time to draw them. So that's where I stand.
Yeah,
I'm guessing you wanted Schalke, did you?
I wanted Schalke, absolutely. I mean, based on, you know, the form and where they are in the Bundesliga, you know, this is really a team we should be, you know, should be very much capable of beating. Hopefully, put the tie to bed in the first leg, rest a few for the second leg. That's the dream scenario. Never works like that. But when I looked at the other options, you know, you look at Atletico Madrid, you were thinking, you just know what you're going to get. It's going to be a boring game. It's going to be tight. It's going to be very defensive from their side. It'll be a matter of us trying to break them down. And we don't generally play well against teams like Madrid when they've got the likes of maybe Costa and Griezmann that they can counter-attack and hit us on the break. So I'd been a bit nervous with Atletico Madrid, as much as I still would have seen us going through. Roma would have been great, purely because I don't think they're as good as they have been, but it'd have been nice to have had Kolarov and Dzeko back, which would have been great.
Would the crowd now, still have sung the Edin Dzeko song?
I think so. We still sing it now, don't we? And then Ajax would have been just a footballing masterpiece, wouldn't it? Because they love to play football. I'd love to have a more of an up-close and personal look at De Jong, you know, because I've seen bits of him. I'd love to see him live in action. So that would have been... And plus, I don't know if you went, I'm sure you did, Cheesy, a few seasons ago to Ajax. Amsterdam is just great, isn't it? So, well, actually, we booked for Schalke Lake, so we've already done it, but we're going via Amsterdam, so we're spending a night in Amsterdam and then getting a train from Amsterdam to Gelsenkirchen. So,
I've got to tell you that as much as Gelsenkirchen is a special place for me, of the venues, Madrid, Rome, and Amsterdam, it is the worst venue. I mean, as an actual place, yeah. I don't want to diss my own mum's hometown,
right,
but it's just an ordinary town. There's nothing
special.
You're
getting no Bratwurst when you go around after that.
I love it, but I think most people will be based in Dusseldorf or, like you, Amsterdam or wherever.
Yeah.
But what about the game? I mean, it is the one every... I know nobody can take anything for granted, and the second leg's at the Etihad, but it is the one everybody wanted, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Before we go any further, should we be calling you Cheeseman? How do we
Käseman?
Käseman.
I've actually got a Schalke shirt at home with Käseman on the back.
Käseman, right? Okay.
Käseman.
Well, in terms of, like you're saying, how Schalke have been this season? Obviously, they lost the first four games and they have struggled. And they had the derby recently against Dortmund, and it was close. It was close. Obviously, they got beat. They played against Nuremberg recently and drew 1-1. They're something like 16th, aren't they? Something like that in the league at this moment in time. And Bayern beat them 2-0 at a canter, second gear. So you'd like to think, as Dan said there, that it's going to be it's not going to be easy, because there's no, in the last 16, there's never going to be an easy game. But it's by far and away the best draw. So for years and years, we've been criticising the fact that we've always had the worst draws, and it's just a breath of fresh air to get that. That said, there's no complacency, not from Pep anyway, and. I mean, when you go away from home and go away from home first, you want to put the tie to bed. And that's how Pep will be. Obviously, the league to come back to is massively significant. And I feel as though it could be the right time then to really push on. But certainly, looking at Schalke and how they set up, you do feel there's going to be, obviously, playing with City, there's going to be goals in it. But at the same time, they have managed to kind of just... hold the line and be so defensively minded when they want to. I've seen a few games this season where it's been 1-1 and 0-0 or whatever, and they can keep it tight. And as we saw against Hoffenheim away, every team can score goals if you let them. So you've got to be absolutely bang on the money. But we've all said it, and we all couldn't believe it, but Schalke has got to be probably the dream tie for us, not only to go through, but to really pick up our momentum and goal-scoring form as we go into the final eight.
What I will say is German crowds are always very passionate, very noisy. They don't allow the standing behind the goal, of course, in Europe. So the capacity comes down by about 5,000 or 6,000, and they put seats in at that end.
What is the capacity at Schalke?
Normally it's 61 and a bit, right. So it'll come down to maybe about 55. And the thing that people won't notice, which I'm sure I'll talk about a little bit nearer the game, is that the seats are not these safe standing or rail seating. It's old-fashioned terracing, and they literally, and this is incredible when you think about it, they handball all the seats in and bolt them into position for the European games. They still stand up at that end in the seats, but they've got to meet the requirements. And then after the game, they unscrew them all, put them back in a warehouse around the corner, and he goes back to being a terrace again. It's unbelievable.
Sounds like Peter Swales used to work there.
Yeah. But or Ed Woodward.
Well, they don't like the certainly the Schalke fans, and there's a lot of other German teams don't do it. It happens at Dortmund too. They don't like the rail seating, the safe standing, which I know is something that we've talked about before, and no doubt we'll talk again, because a lot of people want it to return to this country, don't they? And if City extend the North Stand, as they're going to do.
So why did Celtic, why did they get away with it when we played them a couple of seasons ago?
I assume it's because they're in Scotland. Presumably it's because it's Scottish, different sort of Scottish FA. Yeah. It is strange that and they, you're quite right, Danny.
Created, I mean, like you, Cheesy, I've been to the majority of the European away games and domestic away games. You know, I went to Anfield last season, the biggest myth in the world. You know, they're all right when they're winning, but it's quiet as a mouse other times.
You're right.
Celtic was another level. That was intense. And that's what got a pretty average side a good result against us, because I think the intimidation of the atmosphere, and I think there's an element of that with the safe standing. I mean, I'd love to see it back. I sit in the south, or stand in the south stand. You know, I don't think I've ever sat in my seat since I've been in the stadium. You know, everybody stands up in that end, and I think it does, as much as it's maybe a little bit sterile, these modern stadiums. I do think the safe standing would that's another debate, though.
Just a quick line before we end that debate and move on to our surprise footballer.
Best Al Jolson impersonation.
Jazz hands, if you can see them on the video. But I think they're going to introduce standing, and they introduce rail seating, where you're actually allocated a position. It doesn't achieve what I think it needs to achieve, which is the old days of being able to, on the Kippax, where you can meet your mates.
Watching Lakey. I'm giving him an hug. Watching Lakey every week. Oh, my word.
That's another debate, as you say, for another day. So the surprise footballer is on the way, hopefully, after this. So here we go then, and I promised you a surprise footballer, and we've got one right now. Now, just keep quiet, if you would, surprise footballer, and we'll ask these two lads in the studio to try and work out who you are. So go on, Danny, what's your question?
Is it just a yes or no thing, this, is it?
Yes, that's your question.
Oh, what? That doesn't count.
Did he play in the 90s?
Did he play in the 90s? He did play in the 90s, yes, but other decades as well.
Is it Paul Walsh?
No.
Right.
Is it Richard Etchell?
No.
Right, I've given up. You said two questions.
Right, okay. Well,
the clues weren't great, Cheesy.
Ask him a question, then you'll hear his voice as well. Go and ask a question.
Who are you? Good guy to speak to us, haven't you?
This has been built up. So.
Are you an FA qualified UEFA A coach?
Me?
Yeah.
No. B license.
Not a clue. That does not help me in any way.
Right. Well, I'll tell you that he was at the game at the weekend, and that's where I saw him. And
is it Fitzroy Simpson?
It is Fitzroy Simpson.
Simo.
Right, there you go.
Lakey, what's going on?
You couldn't get it from that. Right, Fitzroy, what did you think of the game? I mean, it was a game you were at.
I mean, the result was good, but I mean, I'm sure that there's from the Man City I've seen on the TV and previously, they've seen them better, but they've done enough, mate. They're world class.
Who stood out for you? Is there a player that you admire? On Saturday, when I saw you at half-time, I said that Leroy Sané song was perfectly scanned for Fitzroy. Fitzroy Simpson goes down the wing for me. That would be perfect, wouldn't it?
I don't know. Sané was OK. Actually, he's a world-class player. They're all world-class, but even to his own admission, I'm sure he's been better than that, you know. But, yeah, as I say, they've done enough. They had more in the locker than Everton. And for me, going down the wing, it would be at least twice a game, and then that's it.
So, Simo, in today's game, if you will, would you see yourself more as a number 10 or as a number 8?
Number 8.
Yeah?
I'd prefer to be number 8. At least I can try and kick someone as well.
You're not allowed anymore.
I know.
Them days are gone, Simo. But I mean, obviously, we had you down on City Square. It was great to see you. You know, again, like with Lakey, somebody I respected on the pitch. I mean, what when you look at the way that the club's changed, Simo, since your time. I mean, you know, you must come and see, you know, the success we're having. It must be unbelievable for you to be able to kind of come back, and this is a totally different club to maybe the one that you left.
It is, mate. It's an international club, you know, on a global stage. I mean, every player there is world class, you know. You've got the best coach, you've got your best supporters, as always, best facilities. Their league is really your Barcelona's, Bayern Munich's, Real Madrid, Man United's, Liverpool's and that lot. You know, it's a totally different transformation. And the thing is, which is really scary, is they have to maintain that now because the generation of supporters are used to that. Champions League semi-finals, winning the Premier League, they're used to that. I mean, we tried our best, but this is a totally different globe.
Well, you know, Simo, we talked about different managers, and obviously you've heard about Mourinho today, but certainly in terms of Pep Guardiola and that philosophy, do you see that obviously Pep's not going to be here forever, but do you think that there's other managers, even Arteta, can pick up the baton and carry on and maintain a similar intensity? Like you've seen with Barca, you've seen with Bayern Munich, they've still been able to carry on his philosophy, albeit to a modified degree. Is that going to be possible in the Premier League, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the noisy neighbours across the road, they've struggled since one of the greatest managers of all time has departed. You know, they've tried to fill that gap. I think with Pep now, we've got to move over the net to try and make him a permanent fixture. But do they do that now? Because I don't know. I don't know. You've got Pochettino down there building his legacy down at Tottenham. You don't know. I mean, I think we're very fortunate to have the best coach in the world. And I think that players want to play for him. And if they want to play, you'll get at least 5% more out of him, honestly.
You seem to have a title race like no other. You know, I know you've got to go in a second, Fitzroy, so I'll just ask you this one more question. Obviously, City and Liverpool are head-to-head at the moment. It's unprecedented that the few number of points that each team is dropping. Do you think this is going to go all the way to the end? And Lakey was suggesting that City-Liverpool on January the 3rd could actually be decisive.
It could be. I mean, it's unbelievable. The amount of victories them two teams have had. But it's not surprising because they're a golf apart from anyone else. I think it's going to go to the wire. Even if, you know, I think it's definitely going to go to the wire.
Well,
you know, it's not a defining game that City-Liverpool, but I'll tell you what, they're going to be there. I'm still backing City to win it, but they're not going to go away. Liverpool, no chance.
Well, I know I speak for Danny as well, but for us two to have the pleasure of your company at the weekend was great. Thank you very much. Lovely to speak to you. I'll let you get back to your coaching session.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
Cheers.
Fitzroy Simpson. Cheers. So there you go. I thought you'd have got it quicker.
I could have guessed that because we had him at City Square. I could have. And usually Cheesy will get one of the City Square guys because they're in and around the club.
You said coaching with young boys or at school or whatever. So I thought of Edgy because I know he does that sometimes as well. So
Sean Goethe does that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about the Leicester game. Now, the League Cup as a subject is an interesting one. My lad, you know, as I'm coming down to record this tonight before you and I, Danny, go off to Leicester, not together, you know, but we are going to go to Leicester, says, well, not playing again, are they? So quickly, the games just keep coming thick and fast. And obviously it's a concern of too many games, too many competitions, too much intensity. I suspect tonight, and by the time you listen to this, you probably know what the team is. Phil Foden will start, there'll be a few changes. However, it's another game. Is it a game City could do without?
Oh, no. I don't think we can be in that position where we become arrogant around cups. I mean, we've gone through too many years of winning absolutely nothing. You know, I remember back, I think it was just as the money came in, maybe that first season, and we got to the semi-final of the League Cup and we played United home and away. Do you remember? It was part of the Blue Moon Rising DVD and you were on it, you know, and I remember your face and I remember what you said, and it was pure dejection that we'd been beaten in this cup. I think we've got to take every competition seriously. Absolutely, 100%. And we've got the squad depth to be able to do it and not be have too much of an effect. I mean, obviously, it's a bit different at the moment with the injuries we've got. But, you know, we've got a strong squad. You know, he can afford to rest 4, 5, 6 tonight. And I'm sure Leicester will do the same. And I think it'll still be a team that will go out there and win it. I mean, how good is it to get to Wembley? How good is it to lift a cup? you know, what momentum does that early cup give you for the rest of the season? I think there's so many boxes that winning and competing in the League Cup ticks. So I'm all behind it. I think we need to go all out and try and win it.
I'm only
and
like
Kev says, Kev says, we're going to do. We're aiming for the quadruple this season. He got asked a direct question and he answered it.
Oh, don't
so,
say
so big Kev says it. But why not go for it? Set your ambitions as the quadruple. Why not? We're favourites for them all.
I'm playing devil's advocate here, right? Because I do tend to agree with what you're saying, Danny, but there's a two-leg semi-final in January as well. Next season, I think it goes down to one leg as they're introducing that winter break and trying to create an extra week and everything. But this year, it's still two legs. So that would mean that there would still be four games in this competition. I think the Everton game, if I'm right, at Goodison Park, would then be moved away from the weekend to midweek to accommodate a League Cup final if City were to go all the way. That does... Although I do really agree with what you're saying, Danny, and win every game and every competition you can, there is that little bit of a nagging doubt at the back of my mind thinking, if they lose tonight, you know, is that not maybe a slight blessing in disguise? No.
Well, I think that, as Dan said there, I mean, in terms of the players, they want to play every game, they want to win. You'd rather play games than train as well. But these players now are conditioned into this type of a season. It happened last season, you know, with the trophies and the games in midweek and the games changing. And it's part and parcel now of an elite athlete. Is that he's going to expect to have that many games. And certainly Pep Guardiola will go out there to win absolutely everything. You know, that's infectious. You know, there's a real positivity and a mindset, so much so that the players almost have taken it to a level themselves and Pep's just ticking them over. So for me, what I like is the fact that younger players will be given a chance to shine and really impress. And Phil's going to get in there now. Obviously, we don't know what score was with Brahim Diaz still, do we? Whether you've heard anything different. But certainly there's players of that calibre which will be getting a chance to really, you know, set the players alight, in which case Pep may not have any alternative but to bring that player in because they are playing so well. So there are those opportunities too. But I just think that in terms of momentum, it's not spoken of enough, really, because, you know, winning every single game, winning silverware, having those experiences, it just energises the team to want more and more and more. And wow, if Kevin De Bruyne is saying that, then that's going to be the mindset. Because he's not, I don't think Kevin's particularly arrogant man. I think he's quite level-headed and he's quite a humble guy. But if he's saying that, then that's the intent of the squad. So he'll be speaking on behalf of the squad when he says that.
And I think he was asked a direct question and he kind of said, well, we're in all four, so why would we not aim for all four? And I think that was more the answer.
I don't think
he's a headline of Kevin De Bruyne says we're going to win the quadruple. He's not.
Somebody will make that into
Of course he will, but we know that. And I think we've seen it every season. Pep, you know, when we were unbeaten, did you even talk about going unbeaten all season, Lakey, with your circle of friends? I never did. It was never something I considered. You know, would you be, I mean, if Liverpool went unbeaten all season but we were in the league by 4 points, would you really be that bothered?
No.
I mean, ultimately it's about getting victories and being sat top of the table at the end of the season. Whether we lose another three games and do that, I'm not really fussed.
The football social continues, of course, all throughout the Christmas and New Year period with a few little gaps, but this is the last dedicated City Hour before New Year, actually, because Christmas Day and New Year's Day is the one after that. So as we come towards the end of 2018, I have to say that this has been the most marvellous dreams year of football that I've ever seen. Can it ever be beaten? What's your wish for 2019?
Well, I think it can be beaten. I think we've got the right manager in charge to go beyond what we've achieved in 2018. You know, as we all are, we're mad blues. We have to pinch ourselves to what we're seeing at the moment, football-wise, personnel-wise, manager, you know, but not even just that. Beyond that, the club, the infrastructure, you know, you look across the road at United and it just looks like a shambles. And I mean that. I'm not even poking fun at them with that. You know, I think United fans would agree their club is ran the light years behind where we are at the moment, and that's what's so exciting. You know, these Abu Dhabi guys who was apparently just going to come in, get bored and leave, you know, there's no sign of that. I think these are going to push the club.
Even if they did
we're established now, but they'll have no ambition to go anywhere. You know, they're going to want to push this club even further. and enjoy the ride. I mean, 2018 is been a brilliant year, but I think there's more to come.
You got a wish for 2019, Lakey?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of our key players, if there are key players,
that's,
staying
that's
fit.
The key wish, isn't it?
Yeah, everybody all fit. Those players staying fit. At the same time, for us to really step up to Champions League now, because I think that's what everyone really is crying out for. And everyone then can put to bed the fact that they'll always compare, you know, teams and say that we haven't got that history or whatever because of Champions League. We're so close, you know, you can almost taste it. But we need to make sure that, you know, that we keep the players fit, and we are lucky in that regard. Because for Champions League, we will need David Silva. We will need Kevin De Bruyne, I believe, to be at our absolute best. And if that happens and we have a full complement of our best players and our best starting 11, because we've all got our opinions of that, I do believe that we're going to be pushed on by Liverpool, and it's really exciting that. But I think we'll just nick that. But the Champions League, for me, would be the absolute ice on the cake, and that would be the next step for us.
Thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for downloading. Don't forget to comment. Give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe to the podcast. Thanks very much to Danny, to Natalie, of course, isn't here tonight, but Natalie's part of this as well, to Lakey, and from myself, a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy Blue Year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.